Hello and happy Christmas Eve. Hope you're all ready for the big day and thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 24th of December. Coming up today, we'll be hearing from an air ambulance paramedic who'll be on call to respond to emergencies in Kent on Christmas Day tomorrow. We'll also hear from Gillingham striker Elliot Nevitt about why he doesn't mind playing over the festive period ahead of their Boxing Day fixture. But first, taking a look at our top story today, we're being warned of scammers posing as street fundraisers after a woman was targeted in Tunbridge. Ellie has more details for the Kent Online podcast. She joins me now. Ellie, what do we know about how the scam happened?
So at the end of last month, Jolene Gonzalez was sitting in a cafe called The Market House in Tunbridge, and she was doing some work on her laptop when a girl that was presenting as deaf came up to her and pointed at a piece of paper that she'd put in front of her. On the piece of paper, it said Disability Rights UK, and it was asking people to donate to the charity. As soon as Jolene realised that the girl was deaf, she went to get her card out, and the girl actually had a card machine with her. So without thinking, Jolene decided to tap her card and donate. However, as soon as the transaction went through, it came up on her phone as a notification, and she could see that it was actually a personal account and not a registered charity like she was expecting. So as soon as she saw this, she had a feeling that something wasn't right, and she queried with the girl, although the girl was obviously presenting as deaf, and sort of said, oh, that's not right. That shouldn't be a personal account. That should be a charity account. What's going on? And she started to feel a little bit uneasy and realised that she perhaps had been scammed. The bank account that the transaction had gone to was actually in a personal name. I can't remember exactly the name that it was given as, but it was quite obvious that it wasn't right. And when I've spoken to Disability Rights UK, they have let us know that they don't do street crowdfunding. Obviously, some charities do, but they made it very clear that that isn't the case for them.
And Jolene says her experience should be a warning to others.
When Jolene continued to challenge the girl about the bank account that seemed to be personal, she actually asked the girl to write down what the girl was trying to say. And the girl wrote on a piece of paper, "This is my boss's account." And obviously Jolene still felt that didn't sit right. And she actually was quite concerned about the girl and what sort of organisation or scheme she was actually involved in. So unfortunately, although Jolene did lose £10, and it is confirmed from the charity that it is a scam, she's hoping that through raising awareness, people can be more cautious, particularly this time of year when you're feeling quite generous and you obviously want to donate to charity, but obviously just think twice about who the person really is and check if there's actually a charity number.
Thanks so much, Ellie.
Kent Online News.
An Ashford man who abused a young girl and a drunk teenager has been jailed for 21 years. A court heard David Davies told one of his victims not to tell anyone what had happened. The judge told the 46-year-old from Wellesley Road he presented a significant risk to the public. A man's been taken to hospital with serious facial injuries after being attacked in Canterbury. He was punched to the ground by another man in the Friars part of the city late on Friday night. We're told the suspect was with a woman and walked off along the high street towards Westgate Towers. A father and son from Maidstone who use an encrypted phone service to supply cocaine have been jailed. Their messages were decoded and an investigation led to drugs being found hidden in various places. Police have shared a video of their discovery.
Whilst executing the search, this plastic trim panel attached to the front of the VW Transporter was removed with the screws. Within a hide or space in between the radiator and the Tesco's carrier bag. That appears to be white hard substance within a clear bag. And there's a large amount of herbal cannabis which has already been bagged up.
61-year-old Ashley Steele from Middlesex Road and James Steele, who's 40 and from Chartway Street in Sutton Valence, have been locked up for a total of 10 and a half years. Their associate, Danny Duval, who's 36 and from Common Road in Hadlow, has also been sentenced to 8 years and 7 months in prison. This is the moment he was arrested during a police raid.
Police! 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 Police!
Show your hands now!
Show your hands! See, Danny. Right, Danny, you're under arrest, money laundering and conspiracy to supply class A. You don't have to say anything. May harm your defence. Do you mention when questions? I'm the judge later on in court. Anything you do, say may be given evidence.
Officers say they'll be using the proceeds of Crime Act to recover cash and any other assets acquired as a result of criminal activity. More than 100 cannabis plants have been seized by police after they searched a house near Hythe. Two men and a woman have been arrested following the discovery on School Road in Saltwood. A police officer has been attacked while searching a man for drugs during an operation in Ashford. Police dog PD Hudson was used to identify suspects in pubs in the town last Friday night. A man and a woman in their 30s were arrested. A man's been bailed and the woman was given a caution.
Kent Online News.
More than 100 people have been arrested by Kent Police during an operation targeting those suspected of domestic abuse and violence against women and girls. A total of 68 people have been charged. Among them is a 25-year-old from Ashford who's accused of a sex attack, false imprisonment and assault. Elsewhere, a Hythe man who left his former partner needing surgery for a broken jaw has been jailed. A court was told Kieran Deasy had attacked her on three previous occasions, twice while she was holding their baby. The 26-year-old from Marine Parade has been locked up for 6 years and will have to serve at least two-thirds before being considered for parole. A teenager has admitted carrying out an ammonia attack in Margate that left two men seriously injured. Ronnie Tudor was arrested after a total of four people were sprayed with the substance in Manton Street in the early hours last month. The 19-year-old from St Luke's Avenue in Ramsgate is due to be sentenced next March. A pedestrian has been taken to hospital after being hit by a car near a shopping centre in Broadstairs. Emergency crews were called to Margate Road not far from Westwood Cross yesterday evening. The person's injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. Now, the sitting Bourne MP has defended his decision to ask the government to have the final say on plans for thousands of new homes. Just hours before the council was due to vote on plans for Hystead Park, they were told it had been called in, meaning the Secretary of State would decide. More than 8,000 properties are planned on two sites. Kevin McKenna has been speaking to Dan Essen on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
When Labour got elected to government, we had a very, very strong line on building a lot of houses in this country as a whole. 1.5 million houses. I mean, the Conservatives actually asked for 1.6 million, so a little bit more than us. So either party in government would be facing a need to build a lot of housing. And I do get there is a lot of anxiety around the Hystead development. It's a big plan. It's a big piece of strategic development, and it's not just about the housing. It's also would involve building a new eastern bypass for Sitting Bourne. If you've ever driven around Sitting Bourne, most of the time it's a traffic jam and it's really hard to get around. And part of that is because a bypass on the eastern side that was promised years and years ago has never been built. There's never been government money for it. There's no local government money for it. But this development would actually pay for that. And I've got a part of my constituency, a housing estate in East Hall, where people literally, there's only one road in and out. This would be their exit route. But also would connect really, really big, important parts of the local economy, Sheerness Docks, all of the industrial sites in Kemsley and Sitting Bourne, and the Kent Science Park to the M2. So that's a big thing in itself. And people do talk about infrastructure, and they don't just mean roads, they also mean schools and GP surgeries and so on. And, you know, these plans as they are at the moment, they promise secondary school, primary schools, health centre, a new home for Sitting Bourne FC. So there's a lot of promises with it. I mean, in truth, though, people are right to be wary of developers and their promises. We've had a lot locally where, you know, the developers haven't followed through on what they've promised. And because this is so big, because it's such a big strategic decision, I felt actually it needed to be looked at by the planning inspector nationally.
So usually when we go out onto the street and ask random members of the public, you know, what do you think about this or that council development? You know, usually they look at us like we're mad and they have no idea what we're talking about because they don't sit in a council chamber. But lots of people on the street sitting board knew about this development.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's surprising. Basically, a lot of people very unhappy about it, and especially the fact that, you know, essentially there's a lot of people living in Sitting Bourne for a long time, seen it get progressively more built up and has all the infrastructure problems you mentioned. And it seemed to many they perceived it as a new MP who, you know, lived in the area, correct me if I'm wrong, a few months, and basically come in and said that, you know, what you need is 8,000 homes. You know, do you think your argument that that's the mandate of national government and that supersedes their concerns, while that may be politically legitimate, do you think that will serve you well in Sitting Bourne in future? Do you think residents would back that?
I've been talking to a lot of people in the constituency and really trying to get to the bottom of what matters to people. Absolutely. One, there are several big concerns related to this. In the area, access to nature is really important. And people are very proud of the local countryside and want to protect that, that I understand. And also, Sittingbourne itself has been very, very badly served by the development that's happened over the last few years. So it's been subjected to piecemeal development around the edges of the town, where a small estate of housing is built that doesn't have GP surgery, doesn't have a good road connect network to the local roads, doesn't have the things that a community needs to thrive. And it's just been added block by block by block by block to the edge of Sittingbourne. And of course that puts more pressure on the traffic in the centre. And of course that puts more pressure on local schools and services because those services are not built into these developments. It's time to break through that.
If you missed their chat, you can listen back to the full episode on the podcast page at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A council's apologised after a workman buried his dead cat in the garden of a woman's home in Ashford. It happened while a property management company were carrying out work to renovate a bathroom in the flat in Cade Road. We're told the subcontractor has been dismissed and all other works have been completed. A Gravesend man who became a victim of a car registration fraud is calling for more to be done to protect him. The 43-year-old has received a number of V5 documents to his home for vehicles he doesn't own. He's concerned he'll be blamed if any are involved in a crash or crime. The DVLA have now said they'll put a block on his address. Action Fraud are also looking into it. Now, Kent Online's been hearing from an air ambulance paramedic who'll be on call to respond to emergencies in Kent on Christmas Day. Crews will be on standby at their base, ready to help with things like crash injuries or cardiac arrest. Last year, they had 12 call-outs on Christmas Day. Reporter Alex Langridge has been speaking to Phil Richardson, who's a critical care paramedic, about what their day will be like.
It's almost the same as most other days, except that we'll probably do more training on the days leading up to it so that on actual Christmas Day we can give ourselves a little bit more of a break with things like maybe cooking the Christmas meal or doing the playing board games. But really the start of the shift will be exactly the same. We'll come in, we'll call our dispatcher, we'll book on with the pilots, we'll check all of our equipment, all of our vehicles, and we'll be what's called mission ready, so that if a call comes in straight away, we know that we're able to respond and get out as quickly as possible to the aircraft. The key part is always to be ready. So everything like equipment, even making sure that you've been to the toilet and stuff like that. You don't, as soon as a call comes in, that is it. Everything gets dropped and you just make your way to the aircraft.
I think you mentioned a little bit about, you know, having Christmas dinner. So do you do anything on Christmas Day to actually mark that it's Christmas? You know, do you kind of play games and have dinner, but obviously ready to drop it whenever?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. I think we've been gifted some meals this year from one of our supporters. So we'll all have our own individual tasks on which part to cook, which part to prep, and we'll all come together. So there's two teams, and then we'll have our manager there as well, and we'll set about cooking all of the meals and then we'll have a big spread laid out.
In the information that KS has already sent over, it said that last December, crews responded to 12 missions on Christmas Day alone. So kind of what incidents do you get called to on Christmas? Kind of what have you seen?
Most of them are serious injury due to things like trauma-related injuries, such as road traffic incidents. Could be fall from height as well. But we do have a proportion of patients who will have medical events and sadly in some cases even a cardiac arrest where their heart stops.
And is there anything people can do? I know you obviously mentioned there are quite a lot of road traffic incidents that we can, you know, because obviously a lot of people will probably be travelling around this period. Is there anything that people can do to make sure that they're kind of safe out there when they are celebrating or getting to and from places?
Yeah, sure. I think plan your journey before you leave and plan to give yourself plenty of time. I think the moment you start rushing or taking extra risks or checking things on your phone or even just going out and, you know, still maybe being under the influence of alcohol from the night before, that's when things start to go wrong. So we'd encourage everyone, obviously, not to drink and drive, but also have a cautious thought about whether or not the aftermath of the Christmas party the night before is still in their system. And also if people are going to be buying things like bikes or skateboards, to just also include in there the safety things like helmets and pads and lighting as well, because that's important.
Kent Online News.
A Tunbridge Wells family have been left upset and disappointed after turning up to a Brighton tourist attraction to see Santa, only to find it had shut without notice. Lauren Beale received an email last Sunday morning to confirm their trip to the I-30, but the 162-metre-tall tower had closed with immediate effect the Friday before, with bosses blaming escalating costs, bad summer weather and the cost of living crisis as the reasons behind the decision. Lauren says her two daughters were left heartbroken. The family posted this video online.
Promised us and took our money to take our kids to see Santa, but in the meantime I've closed the company down and not told anyone. Still sending us emails this morning saying we can do it today, but obviously not, because it's completely closed down and they've scammed multiple people, because multiple families turned up with their children today with absolutely nowhere to go. Absolute shame on Brighton I-36 and any company involved with them.
The council said it would conduct an investigation into the closure and the money owed. A Rochester dad will be spending Christmas with his family after his daughter carried out life-saving CPR when he suffered a heart attack. 27-year-old Courtney had recently had a first aid refresher and knew what to do when he wasn't breathing. David Hanlon was later treated at Ashford's William Harvey Hospital before being discharged in time for the festive season. Head over to Kent Online to read about some of the local pubs that have been lost this year. We've taken a look at 12 across the county that have closed in 2024. You can also find out about plans for some future sites. And while you're on our website, you can see the moment a man managed to eat 3 mince pies in just 32 seconds at a Carols and Beer event in Medway. The challenge to try and break the current world record of just over 52 seconds was set during the event at St Margaret's Church in Raynham.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham are getting ready for their busy festive schedule, which starts with a trip to Colchester United on Boxing Day. The Gills settled for a 2-2 draw with Cheltenham last time out, leaving them 9th in the League 2 table. Striker Elliot Nevitt has been speaking to reporters at the club's press conference.
Do you enjoy playing over the Christmas period? Is it? I don't suppose you'd known it any other way.
Yeah, no. I do enjoy it, yeah, because I feel like it's a good time to get points and it's a good time to get together and to get on the right track, and I think we've done that the past 3 games. I think we've done really well and we've still got 4 big games coming up in a short space, so if we continue our run then we'll be where we want to be come the end of Christmas.
Colchester, tough nuts to crack at the moment. I don't think they've conceded a goal in 6 games. Your side in good form, but so a really challenging test awaits you.
Yeah, like you said, they haven't conceded in 6, but Boxing Day, it's a close game and we'll hopefully bring a lot of fans, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think we'll probably take over 1,000. That must make a difference when you walk out onto the pitch before the game.
Yeah, no, yeah. I really like away games when there's a lot there, you can hear them and they do really push it on, and hopefully we can get the win.
And here's manager Mark Bonner.
I think they're talking about 10 hours since they last conceded a goal in the league, so that in itself tells its own story. And Danny and Nicky's teams have always been really hard to beat, really hard to play against. It's a tight pitch there, smaller this year than last. So, I think it'll be a game for real patience and real individual quality and combinations to try and hurt them and to open them up. And then they have some really dangerous forward players, Tavide, Lyle Taylor, good experience there and craft there. A bit of pace and power, Owairu Edwards on the wide one side, who's very tricky, and then players like Ted Bishop, Jack Payne, that can unlock a really clever pass. So I think they're a nicely balanced side. They've recruited well over the summer and got quite a good blend of youth and experience, left-footers, right-footers, dribblers and passers, soldiers and artists. They've got a little bit of everything in the team. Very good restart and set-play team. A lot of their games have been fairly low scoring, so we have to try and make sure that we are defensively at our best to limit them, because they've got some good threats, but we'll have to work really hard and play really well to make sure we're a creative team against them, because they've give very little up in the games that they've played, not just the ones that they've kept the clean sheets in, but throughout the season. And they're on a good run of form themselves. More draws than they'd probably have hoped for. They'd like a few more wins than that, but at the same time I think it'll be a really tough test for us, but one that we got to go into off the back of a strong performance and try and continue now at building a run of results ourselves.
Kickoff on Boxing Day is at 3. Gillingham will then travel to take on AFC Wimbledon next Monday before hosting Bromley on the 2nd of January. On the 5th, they're away at Chesterfield. And in cricket, Kent-born Rayana McDonald-Gay has been named in the England's women's squad to tour Australia. The 20-year-old from Maidstone could make her Ashes debut. The multi-format series gets underway in Sydney next month. That's all from us today and for 2024. Thank you to everyone who's downloaded the Kent Online podcast this year. We'll be taking a short break now, but we'll be back on January 2nd with all the latest news from the county. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. And for all the very latest updates over the festive break, you can get the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.